Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about three ways to attract ideal clients and repel all others. Our guest today is Davina Frederick. Davina is an attorney who started her own law firm right out of law school and grew it successfully. She's been coaching women law firm owners for almost a decade now on the business principles they need to master to effectively scale their law firm's businesses. Davina has also written two books on law firm marketing and management. Prior to becoming an attorney, Davina worked for 15 years as a professional services marketer. Welcome to the show, Davina.
Thanks for having me, Guy. I'm so happy to be here.
Delighted to have you and really can't wait to hear what you have to share with our audience today. Before we get started on the topic, I'd love to find out a little bit more about you. So how do you go from a marketer to a lawyer? And now it seems like you're a business entrepreneur. So how did you manage all of those changes? And, you know, what led you to have this career path?
Well, it's very interesting because I didn't set out. I wasn't one of those little kids that knew I wanted to be a lawyer. There weren't any lawyers in my family growing up. It wasn't something to even think about. But I have a degree in journalism. And since I lived in a town, once I graduated, there was only one newspaper in town. There was one game in town. And I didn't figure at the time that my odds were that good at getting a job at that newspaper. And I was in a relationship that sort of prevented me from, I thought at the time, from moving elsewhere. So I got a job in marketing, doing copywriting. And that grew from there. Over 15 years, I worked with engineering firms. I've worked with the largest, I was the marketing manager for the largest law firm in Central Florida. And eventually I wound up at an agency and we served clients all over the country, all over the world. And so I developed into a professional services marketer over the course of my career. And from there, I had an opportunity to go to law school. And I was wanting to sort of be more intentional in my career. I never set out to be a marketer, and I wanted to be like a foreign correspondent traveling the world. But since that didn't work out, I had an opportunity to go to law school. And so I took that and went to law school with the intention of starting my own business out of law school. I was about 40 when I graduated from law school, and really wanted to have my own business. I had been inspired to become an entrepreneur because I met my husband, John, and he was an entrepreneur who worked, interestingly enough, in the legal field, not an attorney, but he worked in the legal field and was very, very successful. And I really admired his entrepreneurship. And I was introduced to this world and I thought, wow, that's really neat. So I went to law school, started my own business. I actually had two law firms. The first one was with a partner and it was very successful. The second one I started was a virtual firm in 2011. And that was before anybody was doing virtual. And I got a lot of pushback from people that it wouldn't work, that my clients wouldn't like it. And lo and behold, it did work. But I really found out through the process that I didn't care much for the day in and day out practice of being a lawyer. I wanted to do something that was a little more in line with my sort of natural personality, which I don't care much for being in a constant state of adversity, which I feel as a lawyer, you are, on behalf of your clients. Really, I realized that a lot of people, a lot of my colleagues did not know how to run a business because obviously they don't teach that in law school. And so I began to help them learn business principles and develop strategies for growing their law firm businesses. And then that has turned into a whole other career.
I love it. That is such an interesting story. And so today you run your own business, Wealthy Women Lawyer. Why don't you talk briefly about what it is and what you do there?
Yeah, Wealthy Women Lawyer is a company that helps women law firm owners scale their law firm businesses to and through $1 million. And the reason I picked $1 million is because I saw a lot of law firm owners. I worked with men and women for a while, but I narrowed down to just focus on women struggle with how to turn that law degree into money in the bank. And it's because they didn't really understand. They knew how to think like a lawyer, but they didn't know how to think like a CEO of a business. And so through my experience, I had developed these skills. So I decided that I would help people so they didn't make some of the same mistakes that I made, you know. That is what I have been doing then for almost a decade. This is, I think this is our 10th year. 2023 is our 10th year doing this, and it has been fantastic. We've been able to help a lot of women law firm owners become million-dollar earners year after year after year. So very $1 million and more, actually. We've helped to help people scale beyond that. And I know that there are, you know, big goals to big law and even medium-sized law firms. They think $1 million is nothing. But when you're a solo attorney and you're just starting out and you're trying to do everything yourself and you don't have anybody to help you, that's the people that I'm working with. I want them to transform into business owners where they have a business that is separate from themselves. As a solo, people tend to look at themselves as, I am the business. This is my baby. And I try to help them change their mindset and realize that they can grow a million-dollar, multi-million-dollar business as big as they want it to be, but they have to understand how to do that. And they have to change, they have to learn how to think like someone who can own and grow a business independent of themselves. And so that's kind of the first mile marker.
Love it. So let me ask you a question. What would you say is unique about women business owners, and in this case, women law firm business owners? What's unique? What's different? What are the challenges that you have as a women law firm owner that perhaps men would not necessarily face?
There are many. So let me just say that the reason I need them is because I had male clients, I had female clients, and I realized that I was putting together my first sort of in-person events. This is way back before the pandemic. And I realized the conversation is different when it is just women than when it is a mix of men and women, because women will speak more freely about their challenges that men may not have ever even considered. So one of the things is that even though we're very progressive and we have a new generation that's coming up that's doing things a lot different, it is still very common for women to not only, you know, go out and work in the world, but also to be the one to do the primary mental work at home. And oftentimes a lot of the work at home beyond the mental work, but the doing. And so driving the kids, making sure dinner's made and everybody's fed, you know, laundry's done, housework is done. And even if they are not doing it themselves and they're hiring other people, they are still the one who is keeping track of everything at home. And so they're really working two full-time jobs if they have children. So that's one example. Another example is I've never heard a male lawyer tell me that he has gone into a courtroom and been mistaken for a paralegal or a court reporter or even a defendant. And I often hear women, particularly young women, it have these experiences in the courtroom. Traditionally, the legal industry is very masculine in the way that it is structured, it is set up with the number of billable hours required. And the way men were always able to do that in the past is because they had wives at home. Now we have more than 50% of people graduating from law school are women, and women are coming into the workforce, and they are really redefining what it means to be a lawyer. And they're creating law firms that work with their lifestyle and their goals and what they need that law firm to do to support their lives, instead of going into some of these traditional law firms that just don't work for the way their lives are set up.
I love it. That's so interesting. Let's turn to the topic at hand here. And you talk about ideal clients. How do you attract ideal clients and repel all others? What is your definition of an ideal client, and what are three ways that you can attract your ideal client?
Right. What's interesting about ideal clients is it's not my definition. So an ideal client is going to be the client that you as a law firm owner would like to have as your client. And there's going to be a lot of factors that are going into deciding whether or not somebody is an ideal client for your business. And the reason why I think this is so important, if I could step back just a little bit, is because I've often encountered law firm owners, small law firm owners, who either they aren't making the kind of money that they feel like they should be making for how much work they're putting in, or they're miserable every day in the work that they're doing. They resent their clients. They are just, you know, not really happy, and they're considering leaving law because they aren't happy with the clients they're working with. And so I think fundamentally, when you're growing a law firm business, you have to check in and make sure that you're working with the clients that you want to serve, that you, as your law firm business, you want to serve. And that includes an ability to pay and a willingness to pay and an eagerness to pay on time and in full, right? But there are many other characteristics that people might consider for an ideal client. Some people, you know, may consider certain values or core values or characteristics when they're working with an ideal client. They may be really turned off by people who are looking for that bulldog lawyer, that shark of a lawyer to come in. And they may say, well, you know, I want somebody who's reasonable, who understands that just because you want something doesn't mean you can get it in the court of law, right? Or the best approach in their case may not be to go for the jugular, but instead have more of a, you know, reasonable approach and finesse things and negotiate, right? So determining who your ideal client, obviously there's the demographics. Like if we're local or regional, we're going to look locally, regionally. We identify that they're in our same location. We identify that they have a legal problem that we can serve. If we do family law, we don't want personal injury clients calling us, right? We need to make sure that they're old enough to enter into a contract. We need to determine whether or not they're in an age bracket that is likely to be somebody who would need our services and be able to pay for our services, right? And have a need for the type of services we provide. So there's a lot that goes into deciding what an ideal client is for you and your law firm. And what I'm suggesting is that if they want to attract ideal clients, the very first thing that they need to do is they need to get really clear on who an ideal client is for them. And that may not be the current client that you have on your roster. Mm-hmm. The best way to figure out that if you have had clients, the best way to figure out your ideal client is to think back to that client that you absolutely love to work with. Who have you worked with in your business that you go, man, if I had 10 like them, if I had 20 like them, I would be so happy. And then start to really peel back that onion and say, what is it about that client that I love working with so much? And then maybe think of clients that you did enjoy and write down things that, you know, really the key factors that made them a hard client for you to work with. So that's what I mean when I say ideal client. And that's really the very first step you need to take in attracting ideal clients is you need to identify who that is and identify what you want and what you don't want, right?
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. But I know a lot of times, you know, whether you're running a law firm, starting a law firm or just starting a small business, you don't always have the option to pick your ideal clients, right? Especially when you're getting started, you just want clients in order to pay the bills. So, you know, at what point do you start to make that transition? And what can you do as a law firm owner to position yourself to be able to make that transition so that you are only working with ideal clients?
Most of my clients have already began to work and start getting, I think lawyers tend to get business pretty quickly, pretty easily, right when they're first starting out. They let people know, word of mouth, some attorneys send them cases. So they'll start to, when you're first starting out, you don't know what your ideal client is yet because you haven't had enough experience with clients to know what you like and what you don't like. So it takes a little bit of time for you to grow to that point. Most of the clients I'm working with have been in business for a number of years, and now they're at a point where they want to scale this business beyond just being a solo attorney, and they want to have a business where they hire other lawyers and they grow into the multi-million dollar set, right? And so you have to start thinking a little bit bigger in terms of a law firm. What type of clients are ideal for our law firm with our team, with our core values, with who we want to serve and the kind of money we want to make, right? So when you're first starting out, you may do a little bit of door law. You know, whatever comes in the door, that's what you do. That's what I did when I started my firm. But part of that wasn't because I didn't know enough to know what I wanted to do, right? I didn't know enough to know who I like to work with and the type of cases I like to take. But very quickly, you learn lessons. You get a client and you go, oh my God, there's not any amount of money in the world that would make me want to ever work with a client like that again. And so you begin to identify red flags, right? And so this is a maturity as a lawyer and as a law firm owner. As you mature, you'll start to make, pick and choose that. And so what I'm suggesting is that, you know, when you're just starting out, yeah, you take those cases because those are going to teach you valuable things. And you never know what's going to work out, what's not. But as you become more sophisticated in your business operations, you're going to want to stop and really think about this. And the reason why you think about this is because just because you identify an ideal client does not ever mean that you won't take a client that is less than ideal. And let me tell you what I mean by that. We're identifying the ideal client because we're talking about marketing. We're talking about attracting ideal clients. So in order for us to market, we have to know to whom we are marketing. And if you market to a man in his 60s who has adult children, he's a white man in his 60s with adult children, he's owned a business for many, many years, and he's got grandchildren, that's going to be a very different person from a young black single professional woman. So getting clear on who your ideal client is and what their problems, their 3 a.m. problems are, and what values they have is going to help you in understanding how to speak with them, which is the second way that you want to attract your ideal clients and repel all others. You want to learn their voice. How do they talk about their problem? Because when you're crafting your marketing message, you'll want to do it in such a way that they hear their words reflected back to them, not your words, not how you would say something, and not jargon or lawyer speak or those kinds of things that, you know, creep into our language as we become professional lawyers. We really want to learn how to speak in the voice of that client. So if we haven't identified who that client is and how they talk about their 3 a.m. problem, that problem that when they wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning, they're up pacing because they can't go back to sleep because they have anxiety about it. That problem that we solve, we have to understand how they talk about that and how they think about that so we can craft messaging to them so they hear their words reflected back to them and they are attracted to us for the solution to their problem.
I love it. So first step is learn to identify who your ideal clients are. You know, get a good sense of what types of clients you want to work with, what kinds of clients make you happy. Step number two is learn how to talk to those clients, learn how to market to them, I guess, understand how they speak about their issues, speak about their problems, and basically react to that in a way that they understand and you become attractive to them. Correct?
Right. I'll give you an example too. Something that I see oftentimes on social media is I'll see lawyers on social media talking about their clients, sometimes in a negative way or in a way that is kind of condescending. And I think to myself, that has got to be the most ineffective messaging, because they're not talking with their clients as somebody who cares to help clients. Instead, they're talking to their peers on social media, kind of talking about clients, you know, in a way, because, you know, like they'll say things like, if you want me to take your call, then you better, you know, send me messaging instead of calling me or something like that. You know, they'll put something out that other lawyers will get a chuckle out of, but it's not something that is attractive to a prospective client, because a prospective client's going, well, I'm sorry to bother you, you know, and they're going to go look for the lawyer who's talking about the kind of problem they're dealing with. And I use family law because it's just kind of an easy thing. A lot of people understand what divorce is, right? So if I'm thinking about getting a divorce, this is a problem that I'm going to be up at 3 a.m. scrolling the internet looking for solutions, right? And so if you are out there creating content that is discussing what it is like to go through a divorce and some of the challenges that I might face going through a divorce, and you get me thinking about that and you become a source of authority and credibility for me, you're more likely going to be the lawyer that I'm going to remember when I'm ready to finally make the decision, right? I'm going to trust you. I've seen you. I've heard you speak. I've heard you speak in a language that meets me where I am right now. That's going to be much more attractive to me than something else, right?
Completely agree. Yeah, I completely agree. It's as the old saying goes, clients don't really care what you do. They care about what you can do for them. So the more that you can let them know how you can help them, the better position you'll be to actually, you know, get hired and help them. So I want to turn to social media, because you mentioned it. Obviously, we're big believers in social media. That's one of the things that we do. But I wanted to get your opinion. Should all lawyers be on social media? And if so, what social media channels make sense for them?
All right, so this, I'll tie in my third way with this. And the third way that I mentioned that you can attract is to go where your prospective clients or your referral sources or the people who influence your prospective clients hang out. So now we have to look at social media and go, is this one of the places that my prospective clients are hanging out? When somebody asks me, should I be on Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook or TikTok or YouTube or something else, I take them back to, where are your clients hanging out? What do they use? What are they doing? So let's say I'm somebody who likes to work with enterprise level businesses. So businesses that are already making 5 to 10 million, they're the CEO of that business. Maybe they're shipping things or manufacturing things, whatever. Are they spending their time every day on Instagram? Maybe, maybe not. But that's what I need to think about. Are they watching TikTok videos? You know, I know that a lot of people are migrating to TikTok right now because the numbers are just huge. I mean, you start on TikTok and suddenly, you know, you have a ton of people following you where you're on Instagram and you're trying to eke out an audience these days. And so a lot of people are going there for that. And that works fine for some people, depending on their age, their ability to use the technology, their interest in using the technology, their support system and helping them with their TikTok account, all those. But the key factor is that where your prospective clients are hanging out? Or are you doing this so that you get those vanity numbers, so that you feel like you're doing something? And that's the question that I ask people is like, where are your clients? And that could be a mix of traditional and modern marketing. So are my clients, are they on Instagram, scrolling Instagram, or are they at philanthropic events where people are buying corporate tables, right? A lot of that depends on who your clients are, the nature of your business, right? And I think that's the work you have to do, because you can spend an awful lot of time, you can waste an awful lot of time being places that your clients are not. I'll give you an example in terms of social media. For me, a lot of my clients, women, law firm owners, are on Facebook. Many of them have migrated to Instagram, some to TikTok, maybe the younger ones, although we're seeing a lot of older, you know, women in their 30s and 40s who have children who are on TikTok. So they're on TikTok because their children are. But those are the places where women sort of hang out. What I find when I poll women law firm owners over and over again is they hate LinkedIn, and they're probably not on YouTube because the majority of users of YouTube are male. And then you can start dialing in. Are there exceptions to the rule? Yes, right? But that tells you, where do I need to be spending the majority of my time? For one thing, that's been very effective for me is I have a podcast that specifically is for women law firm owners. And I share that places where I think women law firm owners are hanging out and congregating, right? So I think you have to do that calculation for your business based on your business model and who you're trying to reach. A personal injury attorney may find Google and Google advertising to be the most bang for their buck, as opposed to spending time posting on Instagram, right? But if you don't have a big budget yet for advertising, maybe that's where you start.
That makes perfect sense. All right. Well, that has been fantastic information, Davina. I know you're busy, so I'm going to let you go. But before you do, maybe you could share with our audience, if there was one thing they must have before they start to change their marketing or start marketing, what would that one thing be that you would say?
I think the biggest mistake I see people make is following other people onto these marketing platforms, especially online, without having a strategy that works for them, right? So instead of sitting and looking at their own business and saying, these are my ideal clients I want to work with, this is where they hang out, this is how I need to speak with them, before they pick a platform, whether that's public speaking or guest podcasting or being on TikTok or LinkedIn, you really should sit. The key takeaway is you should sit and think about your own experience, the kind of law firm you want to create, or the kind of law practice if you're working for a firm, and say, I want to create a strategy that works for me and what I want, not something that I see somebody else doing that just looks like it's fun.
That is such great advice. Thank you so much, Davina. It's been a real pleasure having you here today. I know, Davina, that you authored some books, so we are going to add links to your books as well as a link to your website on the show notes. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you, or if anyone wants to read the books that you've authored, they'll have an opportunity to do so.
Guy, I just wanted to say that I have written a book called The Wealthy Woman Lawyer's Guide to Law Firm Marketing in a Virtual Age. And that the reason I wrote that book was because I wanted to help lawyers fend off sort of all the people that come at us all day long and say, I'm a marketer, hire me. I wanted lawyers to understand what they need and what they don't, so they get a very clear idea of exactly who their client is, and they get an idea of their strategy. So when they are talking with someone, they go, this either fits in my strategy or it doesn't. And that really is a huge time saver if you go through that process first. So this book is just a very straightforward guide on kind of helping you dial in on those clients you want to work with and where they're hanging out and how to speak with them and what platform you should be on.
Fantastic. Sounds like a great book.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll have a link to that book on the show notes. For our listeners, if you enjoy today's episode and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. And Davina, thank you again for your time. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show today, sharing such valuable feedback and advice. And I look forward to having you on the show sometime in the future.
Thank you, Guy. I appreciate it. I really have enjoyed our conversation.
Great. Thank you so much. To our listeners, thank you for listening today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we will see you next time.